This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hi, folks. It's the evening edition with Hezrul Ashraf and Kelvin Yi. Now on to our first story this hour. We're talking about criticism against Moore MP Syed Saddiq Syed Abdul Rahman's new movement. And this criticism is coming from none other than his former party chairman, Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad.
Yep, so Tun M, who of course also recently founded Pejuang, believes that a multiracial youth party led by Syed Saddiq will fail. And he gave a couple of reasons for this. He thinks the party doesn't have a viable model. His logic behind this is quite simple, because in any constituency, there are both young and old people. If they only appeal to the youth, they'll find it hard to pull in votes from the older generation. And while youth votes are substantial, they aren't enough.
Right, but he also went on to say that Pejuang would still work with Syed Saddiq's movement if the new party fights anti-corruption. And he's not the only critic. Bersatu Youth Chief Wan Ahmad Faizal Wan Ahmad Kamal said the new youth movement is redundant because whatever it can offer, Bersatu can offer better. He spoke to Malaysia Kini and said there's a predictable path for party members as well. He said members can transition from the youth wing to the main party as they grow older, and this is contrary to YB Saddiq's plan to implement term limits.
Yeah, whenever I think you try to start something new, there are bound to be criticisms. To me, I think it's just a bit surprising that it's coming from Tun M, but perhaps for some other observers who have seen Tun M in the field for a very, very, very long time, might not come as a surprise.
Yeah, I just wonder, you know, how... I do think that the Bersatu Youth Chief, his point is quite valid. You know, what happens to MPs who get elected who are part of this new party, you know, once they hit perhaps 40 or 45, you know, do they transition into senior advisors? And how can they perhaps connect to different constituencies? Because I think of in an interview, Syed Saddiq did make it clear that his party will contest in both rural and urban seats. And I think when it comes to perhaps more traditional or conservative segments of society, you know, how will having a young person translate, right? Are they going to be a familiar face? You know, what can they offer? So I think a lot of questions to be hammered out.
Yeah, and one of it is your point, right, which is we don't necessarily have a lot of data into how, based on age, how people vote. I mean, we have rough guesses, rough anecdotes, and, right. And if anyone has any more concrete evidence, please do send it my way. But I think in general, if we observe elsewhere, what happens is that some of the older generation tend to vote for those who are, well, it's not really the older generation alone, but you vote based on your generation, right? If you are of a certain age, you tend to vote someone who is almost or just like you in terms of demographics, whether it's class or whether it's age or gender. And that also happens, that might also happen with those who are younger, right? They might vote for someone who is just about them. Though I don't think it necessarily detracts or takes away anything from this potential new youth party, right? Because we do need more representation of young people. And if the best vehicle for young people to get representation is through a political party, then so be it. There is still space. I think despite what the current Bersatu Youth Chief says, there is still space for any new comer to join.
And on that point, though, Kel, that point of space, I really hope that going beyond, you know, how well the new youth party will do, is one thing I hope is that it can draw the youth from both sides of the political divide and you know, from people with different political outlooks and perspectives, because I think that one thing, perhaps at least from the things I've seen on social media, that what the youth want is to look past, you know, partisanships and, you know, these people who are stuck in their ideologies and their old ways and are perhaps not open to exploring new policies or new ways of approaching things. So I think that that will, for me at least, that's really something I want to see. And perhaps for many, that might be a litmus test of, you know, how truly successful it can be as a potent political force.
Yeah. So send us your thoughts.
Yeah, you can share us. You can call 7733-2900, WhatsApp 0187898899, or tweet us at BFM Radio. And speaking of Twitter, it looks like we have a poll there, right?
Yep, we do. And it's asking the question, would a youth party in Malaysia be able to garner votes from other groups and not just the young? 91 votes so far, 57% saying yes with sound principles, 33% saying maybe, need to see more, 6% saying no, it's alienating, and 3% saying no, too little experience.
Right, so you can head to the polls there. You know, will SEDEC's youth party succeed? And can it get votes beyond the youth? After this, we're going to be getting some insights from Amir Farid, who's the strategy director at KRA Group. So do stay tuned for that. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Bole for Malaysia. Ha. BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's coming along to 6:16 on the Evening Edition with Hezril and Kelvin, and we're looking at criticisms against more MPs at SEDEC Abdul Rahman's new movement. This was made by none other than Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad. So to get some insights, we're heading to the lines to speak with Amir Farid, Director of Strategy at KRA Group. Amir, it's a pleasure to have you. What do you make of Tun M's statement that SEDEC's planned youth party, Muda Malaysia, is not a viable model?
Well, first of all, SEDEC's configuration of Muda Malaysia, as we've been hearing the past week or so, represents a drastic break with Tun Dr. Mahathir's core political beliefs of Malay nationalism. Tun M is just consistently being Tun M. And at 95, I feel neither his beliefs nor his very famous take no prisoners approach will change. Yeah. At the end of the day, however, Dr. Mahathir, whether you like him or not, he has won countless elections in his enduring political career. And of course, as many political observers should know, and political operators as well, Tun Mahathir's views should not be taken lightly.
Did you find it surprising Tun M hasn't given his full support considering their close relationship while they were both in Bersatu?
Well, unfortunately for Tun M in his colourful political career, this is another episode where his protege has broken with him. But then also, as we know, multiracial parties in Malaysia have had to struggle against long and hard odds. And in this sense, Tun Dr. Mahathir, as I've said, it's just been Tun Dr. Mahathir, he's been practical in withholding his imprimatur from SEDEC's new venture. Let's also not forget why it is not that surprising. Let's also not forget that Tun Dr. Mahathir at the moment is also trying to get his own party, Pejuang, off the ground. Therefore, it is understandable that he is not exactly enthused by Syed Saddiq's new outfit. Anyway, I would like to stress that political differences don't necessarily mean that the personal relationship that they have is necessarily destroyed.
And how popular are youth parties in other countries? Are there lessons Muda Malaysia could learn from them?
It's when it comes to youth parties, it's a mixed bag at best. If you look around, especially in the region, looking around at Indonesia, for instance, if you look at the political landscape and the last elections, there's party Solidaritas Indonesia, a party that focuses on women's rights, pluralism, and Indonesian youth. The party won 13 DPRD seats, which are provincial-level parliaments, but they failed to enter the national parliament in 2019. They polled something along slightly less than 3 million, but 2.6 million, if I'm not mistaken, votes in that election. And it did generate buzz on social media, but they eventually did not make the cut at the national level. And if you look at Thailand, the closest comparison would be probably the Future Forward Party. Although it is not an age-based party, it got a bulk of the youth votes and secured 81 seats in parliament. One key lesson from all these parties, I think, is the ability of the party to capture the zeitgeist of the generation. But at the same time, if they want to perform well, it's got to be backed with clear goals, and they must be inclusive.
And speaking of that, Tun M said that if Muda Malaysia only appeals to young voters, then it'll be difficult to win constituencies that have a high number of older voters. How much of a barrier would this pose to Syed Saddiq's party?
Inclusivity can be a very big challenge because this generation of, we call quote-unquote Zoomers, always on Zoom and all that, treasures ideological purity above all other things, from my observation at least, which can pose a challenge when it comes to winning elections. As you know, the old way of politics, the way that we've known politics for many generations, is about one, making compromises, and two, building a coalition of voters, not just one that supports you, but winning across the board a coalition of voters in order to do well in elections. Banking on support from a specific age group may be good if your primary goal is to disrupt the system. But as I said, in order to win, you will need more. You will need the coalition of voters. Moreover, I believe that for when you look at youth voters, you can never assume that youth in any country, including Malaysia, is monolithic in its approach to politics. Class, geographic and religious differences, at the end of the day, will always come into play.
On the flip side, what are Muda Malaysia's potential strengths?
I think its potential strength, if the Muda Malaysia Party can galvanize the registered youth voters out to vote on a particular trend consistently across the country. And of course, in Malaysia, anything that is new can be exciting. But then again, they've got to balance this with the fact that with political parties, you need to win seats in order to sustain interest and relevance moving forward. And of course, everyone is talking about the number of young voters that will come into play. In 2018 general elections alone, there were 17% 21 to 29-year-olds registered voters out of 14.9 million total registered voters. Once the automatic voter registration kick in, I think in June of next year, another 3 to 4 million 18 to 21-year-olds will be added to this electoral list. The numbers are there for the taking. If Muda Malaysia can capture at least half of these numbers, then definitely their chances increase in doing very well nationally. But then again, you've got to see, if this happens, it can be to the detriment of parties in Pakatan Harapan, at least, because Pakatan have been very effective in getting youth votes, as seen in both the 2013 and 2018 general elections, although not so much in the recent by-elections. But yeah, PH has done well on the youth front. Furthermore, one of the biggest issues that youth have with mainstream political parties is how rigid it is in terms of hierarchy and structure. If Muda Malaysia can make the organization as flat, democratic, cool, that would maybe it can be appealing to the youth talents that want to go into politics and the youth segments that look for this kind of trait in a political party.
What are your thoughts on Pejuang? Can they appeal to a larger number of voters?
It is highly challenging for Pejuang because it is what it is. It is a splinter of a splinter Malay Nationalist Party. The voter base that they are targeting gets narrower. And another thing is the same question that is posed to Bersatu, Tun M's previous party, which they still could not answer before, is on product differentiation. How different is this new Malay political party? If they can clearly define themselves in that context, be clear about the differentiation between Pejuang and the other Malay parties, then they stand a good chance in appealing to a large segment of the Malay vote base.
Let's zoom in on Pejuang's aim to become a kingmaker in the next election. What are the chances of this, especially since parties like Bersatu and JPS were technically kingmakers of the Perikatan National Government?
I think, of course, it's very early days for Pejuang, and the recent slim by-election is just the curtain raiser. But I feel that Pejuang can be the so-called kingmaker if they make an arrangement strategically with the bigger coalitions such as PH or PN, but more likely PH, of course. At the end of the day, as long as they can get seats in parliament, they will have a seat at the high table. Such is the fragmentation of Malaysian politics today. And of all these Malay parties, UMNO, Bersatu, Berjuang, PAS, they're looking at the 122 Malay majority seats at play in Semenanjung Malaysia.
And finally, what are the prospects of Perjuang and Muda Malaysia working closely together moving forward?
Well, first of all, I would not discount that even the close relationship between Tun Dr. Mahathir and some of the ex-Bersatu MPs that set up Perjuang and Muda Malaysia's key personality like Sadiq, this might be an arrangement. If they share the same goals of disrupting the political system and splitting vote from the mainstream parties, then it makes perfect sense for them to work closely together. Again, it is too early to tell for both these parties, but if the ground isn't as receptive as they had anticipated, then the idea of them working together will definitely seem more attractive.
And with that, Amir, thanks so much for weighing in. That was Amir Farid, Director of Strategy at KRA Group. And, you know, you can keep sending your thoughts on this. Do you think Set Sadiq's new youth political party will succeed? And can it get votes beyond the youth? You can call 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, or tweet us at BFM Radio. Speaking of thoughts, we do have a message.
Yep, this one coming from Shara Akmar saying that I will support Syed Sadiq because for my daughter's future, it's dependent on it. I am an Udi Rosat supporter for the past two elections. Fingers crossed,
oh, wow.
There will be that option available come next GE in the shape and form of a multiracial youth party.
Yeah, and I think it speaks to Amir's point on how, you know, perhaps if this new youth movement, I guess, plays their cards right, they can really attract, you know, certain segments of the youth who don't want to be associated with any of the existing parties right now, right?
Mm. Mm. And on that, we also have a message here from Ravin that says, Syed Sadiq will get support from urban voters, but will then also need a winning strategy for rural voters.
Certainly, and I think it speaks to, you know, again, Amir said relatability and being able to appeal to people's sentiments, right, and what they look for in their candidates. And I think relatability is really a big part of that, as we've seen over and over again. So perhaps, you know, perhaps this youth party could play to their strengths when it comes to fielding candidates in certain constituencies.
And really the kinds of policies, ideologies and relationships they then build with the voters on the ground, right? Because it doesn't matter if, I think in quite a few constituencies, it doesn't matter, you know, how young you are, but if you're able to show, and maybe there's also a slight double standard for younger people to have to live up to much higher standards, and considering other factors like gender, that you can perform, then maybe I think there's a good chance for that candidate to win in an election.
Yeah, for sure. So I think we have another message, right?
Yes, we do. This one coming from Ivan on Twitter saying, see, that's the mistake. You don't need the youth to vote for a youth. We don't vote based on age, but on concepts and ideology.
Yeah, and I wonder how that will translate into manifestos. Because I think GE14 was really one of those elections where, you know, Pakatan really harped on this manifesto thing, but then Perikatan said, you know, we have no manifesto, but it doesn't matter because we're Prihatin. We know we care about the people. So I wonder how, you know, ideologies can be translated into these, you know, perhaps binding documents, and how, or if that's too much, right? Or if the people really want relatability and just to be able to know that politicians understand the bread and butter issues. But you can keep sending us your thoughts. We've also got a poll on Twitter, so do head there and participate on that. In the meantime, we'll be headed to the 6:30 news, so keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.